Chapter 53. Father Captain DeSoya awakes to screaming. It is several minutes before he realizes it is his voice doing the screaming. Thumbing open the coffin lid catch, he pulls himself to a sitting position within the creche. Lights are blinking red and amber on the monitor panel, although all of the essential guidelines are green. Moaning in pain and confusion, DeSoya starts to pull himself out. His body floats above the open creche. His flailing hands can get no grip. He notices that his hands and arms are glistening red and pink, as if all his skin has been burned off. "Dear Mother of Mary, where am I?" He is weeping. The tears hang in front of his eyes in tumbling beads. "Zero G, where am I? The Balthazar? What's happened? Space battle? Burns?" No. He is aboard the Raphael. Slowly, the outraged dendrites in his brain begin to work. He is floating in instrument-lighted darkness. The Raphael. It should be in orbit around God's Grove. He had set the creche cycles for Gregorius, Key, and him for a dangerous 6 hours rather than the usual 3 days. Playing God with the troopers' lives, he remembers thinking. The chances for unsuccessful resurrection are very high at this hurried pace. DeSoya remembers the second courier who had brought orders to him on the Balthazar, Father Goronsky. It seems like decades ago to him. He had not achieved successful resurrection. The resurrection chaplain on Balthazar, what was that old bastard's name? Father Sapia, had said that it would take weeks or months for Father Goronsky to be resurrected after that initial failure. A slow, painful process, the resurrection chaplain had said accusingly. Father Captain DeSoya's mind is clearing as he floats above the creche, still in free fall as he had programmed. He remembers thinking that he might not be in shape to walk in 1G. He is not. Kicking off to the wardrobe cubby, DeSoya checks himself in the mirror there. His body glistens redly. He does look like a burn victim, and the cruciform is a livid welt in all that pink, raw flesh. DeSoya closes his eyes and pulls on his underclothes and cassock. The cotton hurts his raw skin, but he ignores the pain. The coffee has percolated as programmed. He lifts his bulb from the plotting table and kicks back into the common room. Corporal Key's creche glows green in the last seconds of revival. Gregorius's creche has flashing warning lights. DeSoya curses softly and pulls himself down to the sergeant's creche panel. The resurrection cycle has been aborted. The hurried revival has failed. "God damn it," whispers DeSoya, and then offers an act of contrition for taking the Lord's name in vain. He needed Gregorius. Key revives safely, however, although the corporal is confused and in pain. DeSoya lifts him out, kicks off with him to the wardrobe cubby to sponge bathe the other man's burning skin and to offer him a drink of orange juice. Within minutes, Key can understand. "Something was wrong," DeSoya explains. "I had to take this risk to see what Corporal Nemes was up to." Key nods his understanding. Even though dressed, with the cabin temperature set high, the corporal is shivering violently. DeSoya leads the way back to the command corps. Sergeant Gregorius's creche is all amber lights now, as the cycle surrenders the big man to death again. Corporal Radamanth Nemesis' creche shows green lights for the normal 3-day resurrection. Monitor displays show that she is inside, lifeless, and receiving the secret sacramental ministrations of resurrection. DeSoya taps the release code. Warning lights blink.
"Creche release not allowed during resurrection cycle," comes Raphael's emotionless voice. "Any attempt to open the creche now could result in true death."
DeSoya ignores the lights and warning buzzers and tugs at the lid. It stays locked. "Give me that pry bar," he says to Key.
The corporal tosses the iron bar across the weightless space. DeSoya finds a niche for the head of the bar, says a silent prayer that he is not wrong and paranoid, and pries up the lid. Alarm bells fill the ship. The creche is empty. "Where is Corporal Nemes?" DeSoya asks the ship. "All instruments and sensors show her in her creche," says the ship's computer. "Yeah," says DeSoya, tossing the bar aside. It tumbles into a corner in zero-G slow motion. "Come on," he says to the corporal, and the two kick back to the wardroom cubby. The shower stall is empty. There is no place to hide in the common area. DeSoya kicks forward to his command chair while Key heads for the connecting tube. Status lights show geosynchronous orbit at 30,000 kilometers. DeSoya looks out the window and sees a world of swirling cloud banks, except for a wide band at the equator, where slash marks cut across green and brown terrain. Instruments show the dropship attached and powered down. Voice queries have the ship confirm that the dropship is where it should be, its airlock undisturbed since translation. "Corporal Key," DeSoya says on the intercom. He must concentrate to keep his teeth from chattering. The pain is very real. It is as if his skin is on fire. He has a tremendous urge to close his eyes and sleep. "Report," commands DeSoya.
"The dropship's gone, Captain," says Key from the access tunnel. "All the connector lights are green, but if I cycled the airlock, I'd be breathing vacuum. I can see out the port here that the dropship's gone."
"Merde," whispers DeSoya. "All right, come on back here." He studies the other instruments while he waits. The telltale double burps are there on the thruster record, about 3 hours ago. Calling up the map of the equatorial region of God's Grove, DeSoya keys in a telescope and deep radar search of the stretch of river around the stump of the World Tree. "Find the first Farcaster portal and show me every stretch of the river in between. Report on location of dropship transponder."
"Instruments show dropship attached to the command core boom," says the ship. "Transponder confirms this."
"Okay," says DeSoya, imagining himself punching out silicon chips like teeth. "Ignore the dropship beacon. Just begin telescope and deep radar searches of this region. Report any life forms or artifacts. All data on main screens."
"Affirmative," says the computer.
DeSoya sees the screen lurch forward as telescopic magnification begins. He is looking down on a Farcaster portal now from only a few hundred meters above it.
"Pan down river," he says. "Affirmative."
Corporal Key slides into the co-pilot seat and straps himself in.
"With the dropship gone," he says, "there's no way we can get down there."
"Combat suits," says DeSoya through the ripples of pain that shake him. "They have an ablative shield, hundreds of microlayers of colored ablative in case of a coherent light firefight, right?"
"Correct," says Corporal Key, "but..."
"My plan was for you and Sergeant Gregorius to use the ablative for re-entry," continues DeSoya. "I could get Raphael in as low an orbit as possible. You use an auxiliary reaction pack for retro thrust. The suits should survive re-entry, shouldn't they?"
"Possibly," says Key, "but..."
"Then you go to EM repulsors and find this... woman," says DeSoya. "Find her and stop her. Afterward, you use the dropship to get back." Corporal Key rubs his eyes.
"Yes, sir. But I checked the suits. All of them have integrity breaches."
"Integrity," repeats DeSoya stupidly.
"Someone slashed the ablative armor," says Key. "Not noticeable to the eye, but I ran a Class 3 integrity diagnostic. We'd be dead before ionization blackout."
"All the suits?" says DeSoya weakly.
"All of them, sir."
The priest captain overcomes the urge to curse again. "I'm going to bring the ship lower anyway, Corporal."
"Why, sir?" says Key. "Anything that happens down there is still going to be several hundred clicks away, and we can't do a damn thing about it."
DeSoya nods, but taps in the parameters he wants to the guidance core. His befuddled brain makes several mistakes, at least one of which would burn them up in the atmosphere of God's Grove.
but the ship catches them. DeSoya resets the parameters.
I advise against such a low orbit, says the sexless ship's voice. Godsgrove has a volatile upper atmosphere, and 300 kilometers does not satisfy safety margin requirements as listed in the Shut Up and Do It, says Father Captain DeSoya.
He closes his eyes as the main thrusters fire. The return of weight makes the pain in his flesh and body all the more fierce. DeSoya hears Key groan in the co-pilot's couch.
Internal containment field activation will alleviate the discomfort of 4G deceleration, says the ship.
No, says DeSoya. He is going to save power. The noise, vibration, and pain continue. The limb of God's Grove grows in the windscreen until it fills the view. What if that traitor has programmed the ship to drive us into atmosphere if we awake and try any maneuver? DeSoya suddenly thinks. He grins despite the punishing G-pull. Then she doesn't get home either. The punishment continues.